Welcome to this edition of the God is Your Life broadcast. This is Reverend Mark Slay inviting you to join me for the next few minutes as we get into the Word of God. Deuteronomy 30:20 tells us to love the Lord your God, obey His voice, and to hold tight to Him, for this is your life. I'll be back in a few minutes, but for now, let's listen as I teach from the Word. In the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your beasts, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you, the Lord will open for you His good storehouse, the heavens, and give rain on your land in its season to bless all the work of your hands. See, they were farmers and crops and herds. And you'll lend to many nations, and you won't borrow. The Lord shall make you the head, not the tail, and only above shall you be, and you shall not be underneath. And if you'll listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully, to do not turn aside from any of these words which I command you today, to the right, to the left, to go after other gods to serve you, serve them. And then he goes on in the next, 50-some-odd verses, he talks about the curses if you don't. And we're not going to read all those because that won't be edifying. Because we're not going to get into the curse anyway. We're going to stay in the blessing, aren't we? But I do want you to read verse 46. He says, they shall be a sign and a wonder on you, talking about the curses. And you shall and your descendants forever, because you wouldn't serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. And then he finishes out talking about all the different curses, which you'll see poverty, sickness, and all that are listed in the curses. They're not what God wants for you. They're what Satan wants for you. Now, if you had Matthew chapter 6, like I asked, we can move forward there. And we'll start with the 19th verse or so. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Somebody said, he said not to have a savings account. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. If you got any sense at all, you have a savings account. You have some money because rainy day may come. So you just have it. What if I don't need it? Well, spend it on something else. But have a savings account. Save some money. Don't. Some folks, they get 10 bucks in their pocket. It's gone, buddy. I mean, it burns a hole in their pocket. They got to have the newest toy or another pair of shoes or something. I don't know what. What was he telling you? But you know what I'm saying? Hang on to some of that cash. You're going to need it. Save a certain percentage, put it aside if you can. Not everybody can, but if you can, get there. Of course, God will bring you there eventually, but you save money. Don't spend it. You know, you that aren't 16 yet, you know 16's coming, 17, 18, and you're going to need a car? So start saving for your car. Well, what if I only get 100, 200 bucks? Hey, cover your first 6 months of insurance, probably your first month of insurance only, really, but do you understand? Just save. You know, who knows what God can do for you starting at a young age and bless you before you are 16. But he's not saying that. You know what he's saying there? See, God is always looking at the condition of your heart. He's not talking about not having a savings account. He's saying, don't make saving and getting money your life ambition. In other words, that's not your purpose for living. Yes, he'll give those things to you, but don't make your sole ambition in life honor and money, fame and money. Put him first, and you'll find out, as he said, if you'll put me first and seek me diligently, I will bless you. But don't seek money, seek him, and let him bring you the money. Look what he says, go on. He says, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth or rust can destroy and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be also. What's he saying? Whatever you really love, that's where your heart's going to hang to. If you love God, your heart will be on God, not money. Now notice he did not say you can't have money. He's just saying wherever your heart is, you're going to, and you can't serve that money. You know, they say, I didn't create this saying, but it's an awesome saying. They said, money makes an awesome slave, but a terrible master. Do you understand what they mean by that? You could be a slave to money. You could be a slave to your business, a slave to prosperity, a slave to making money, and that's what Jesus is really talking about. Don't make your life's ambition. He who dies with the most toys wins. That's not true. Many of those boys that died with the toys are now burning for eternity. but God will give you toys. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. This is a very significant verse here, verse 22. And most folks I've ever, if I asked most folks in here now what verse 22, 23 means, they wouldn't be able to tell me because they don't know. They think he just jumped off talking about the anatomy of the body. But you know, whenever the Lord seemed to switch gears, he knew exactly what he was saying, even if you don't. But he said, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, then your whole body will be full of light. Now, why would he start talking about that? You'll find out in a minute. That's physical. In other words, your physical eye is what lets physical light into your body. And when you got a lot of light and a good eye, you can see real clear. Look at the next part. But if your eye is bad or tainted, or you have wrong purposes or wrong motives, if your eye is bad, then your whole body is going to be full of darkness. And if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, if what you think is truth and right is actually wrong and darkness, he said, you are in deep darkness. Do you get that? If you think you're seeing clearly and you think that he who dies with the most toys wins, and that's actually darkness, he said, that is a great, great darkness. You have to be able to perceive truth with these eyes down here, not these eyes here. That's why he said if your physical eye is bad, you have enough sense to know that you can't see. If your spiritual eyes are tainted, you're not going to be able to see. And he said, and if you think you're seeing and you're not, then you're in big trouble. Notice the next verse. He comes back, brings it back to the point. Nobody can serve two masters. He'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and he'll despise the other. You can't serve God and wealth at the same time. Serve God. Didn't say you couldn't have it. He said you can't serve it and God. You can serve God and have wealth, but you can't serve wealth and have God. You can't. Because if you serve wealth, wherever your treasure is, there your heart is also. Your heart is on the money. You know, folks, I'm sorry to say, but there are people that just get way off on this kind of stuff. Yes, God wants you blessed, but there's some people that take what I'm preaching today in the laity or even in the pulpit, and they just go to bizarre extremes, and that's going to happen. Some of you folks are going to think, you know, what you're really seeing clearly, and, you know, your whole life is going to be about money, and that's wrong. Because he goes on to say, let's read it, and then we'll go finish up. It says, for this reason I say to you, don't be worried about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or what you're going to put on. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they? The answer to that is a resounding yes. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, they don't spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory, and notice the Bible said Solomon there, God was the one that gave Solomon his wealth, by the way, clothed himself like one of those flowers. And if God will so clothe the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, is he not much more going to clothe you, you people of little faith? You see, faith has something to do with getting God's provision in your life. If you can't see it from that verse, then you'll never see it. He said, if God's going to clothe the grass, which tomorrow will die or be cut off or burn up, he said, is he not much more going to clothe you, O people of little faith? So faith must have something to do with receiving provision, mustn't it? According to the Bible, it does. Now look, he said, don't worry then. What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? What are you going to wear for clothing? For the Gentiles, in other words, those that don't seek God, they eagerly seek these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Now look at the next words. And all these things will be added to you, not taken away. If I serve God, you're going to have to do anything. Well, I'm going to give up. You ain't going to give up nothing, trust me, except sin. But you ain't going to give up much of anything else. Are you with me? I'll have to give up only what will kill you. Because he ain't going to withhold anything from you. Now, last scripture for today, that is. Third John, not the Gospel of John, the Epistle of John. You have 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, right there before the book of Jude, right before Revelation. Now, 3 John chapter 1, because there's only one chapter, second verse, New Testament. Somebody said, oh, that's all Old Testament. Well, I just read you Matthew 6. That's New Testament. He said all these things will be added to you. Now look at the second verse there. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just like your soul prospers. Somebody said, oh, he means prosper spiritually. No, no, no. He added that. He tacked that on to the end. But notice he's talking about physical prosperity, physical healing, financial prosperity. I wish, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in good health. God wants you blessed, folks. Now let's go over our lesson we learned, was it last week or 2 weeks? All right. Devil, bad. God, good. Let's get it straight in. Devil, bad. God, good. God, healing, health, good. Devil, sickness, poverty, mean. Is that clear? We'll go over this again if you didn't get it today. It's not your last chance. Hallelujah. God is good. So anyway, I want you to know it because you need to know it. Now, we didn't look at that, and we'll touch on this sooner or later too, but you know, God wants, you realize that prosperity is for everybody. That includes preachers too, you know. Preachers have a right to be blessed just like anybody else does. In fact, if he prospers you as your soul prospers, the preacher should be the most prosperous. Because if he's prospering you as your soul prospers, well, hopefully the preachers are actually living what they preach. Just to trust his cleansing blood,
just and simple faith. I hope you enjoyed today's message. The title of the message is God's Prosperity is for You Too. If you'd like a copy, you can look us up on the web at mrcstl.org or marksslay.org. That's marksslay.org. Or you can call our office at 314-965-8488. 314-965-8488. Until next time, this is Reverend Mark Slay reminding you that God is your life. To the church.